You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, we are live in Vegas, as you know, at the D Casino on Fremont Street and the Rocket Mortgage Studios, Quicken Loan style, son. Get your Rocket Mortgage on. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Our toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS, is brought to you by GEICO. Great news, you can save a ton of money. Switch to GEICO. Go to GEICO.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Now, I previewed this chick before you heard me talking about her on the air at the beginning of the show, and I spent a great deal of time analyzing her act. I called her the little drummer girl because I saw her perform up by the Four Queens last night at like midnight. I saw you jamming, and you had about 100 or 200 people wrapped around you, and the one thing that I noticed was that like 40% of them were giving you money. I mean, at least 40% of the people were dropping money in the bucket. Like, I mean, like, I saw, like, you know, 200 people standing there dancing, and I saw every other person was dropping a buck in that bucket of yours, and I'm like, this chick's got the hustle going hard. Now, I've been here forever on Fremont Street, all right? I've done shows here 25 years ago at the Pioneer Club. So I've seen every act. I've seen Spandex Nation. I've seen them all. I've seen every freak. I've seen the contortionists. I've seen the guy walking around in a male organ outfit with, you know, the onions and his big hot dog shaft. And then I've seen the, you know, 300-pound fat chicks with doilies. And I've seen the guys wrapping their little palm leaves. They're all a disaster. You, Raylene Heater, the heater, the little drummer girl, you're the best act I have ever seen on Fremont Street in Las Vegas. I give it up to you right now, Raylene. Give it up for this chick. Honestly, she is awesome. You are something else.
Thank you. I try my best.
I mean, try my best. My ass. You are unbelievable. I called you Neil Peart.
But
when I said that to you downstairs, you thought I was freaking out or something?
Oh, yeah. That's insane. That's something I've never heard.
No, but listen, you have massive talent. And it's obvious to me, not only drumming, but your whole act, and then the fact that everyone, I had everyone in this bar walked out on the ledge, and I said, watch this. Watch this girl play the drums nonstop for hours at a time with her dad. I knew that was your dad.
He's my manager.
And I knew he was your manager. I knew everything, because I've been here. I've seen it all. And I knew what was going on. But the thing that got me was that you actually have a lot of people dropping money in that bucket. Like, you have a nice thing going because they all love you. And they give you a buck, every one of them, or a couple quarters, whatever it is. Let me ask you, how long have you been doing it out here? You're 19.
I've been playing out here for a year and a half now.
Are you from Vegas?
Born and raised.
Born and raised. And where did you learn how to play the drums?
I've taken lessons the past few years, but I mostly taught myself and just kind of picked it up one day and that was it from there.
No, but honestly, your whole deal is you use garbage buckets, and it looks to me like kitchen piping. The whole drum set is literally like $20. Like, you have put together like Neil Peart's cymbals and percussion set with a kitchen piping, and literally like plastic kitchen piping, and you have two cymbals. The one thing I noticed, and you said I was wrong, I see most guys have the bells that, you know, like my guy Lars. I'm friends with Lars from Metallica, and Lars has 50, you know, bells on his set. And you use it, I thought you were using like the nugget on top of the cymbal as your bell.
It is a bell.
But you have to have timing that's undeniably impeccable to hit that little knob every time when you're going 100 miles an hour hitting that bell. Because most guys have that giant cowbell they hit, and it's 3-4, you know, inches long, and it's enormous. It's fat. Yours is the size of my tongue tip, and you're hitting it with precision. Christ Almighty, I've never seen anything like that. Do you even realize how talented you are?
No.
You better. I think your dad, he needs to step up his management game. He's done a great job with you so far, but you need to be in a huge band. You don't need to be doing this on Fremont Street. You need to be a rock star.
Right now, Patrick Hughes, the president of Fremont Street, he's in contact with us. We're trying to get on the main stage right now. I have no desire to stay in a circle on Fremont Street any longer.
Right.
My goal is to be touring the world with a national act. That is my all-time goal, and I'm just waiting for them to find me right now.
Well, they will. Now we're getting you some attention tonight. So I got to tell you, let me just ask you just specifically. On a good night, like let's say, because Monday and Tuesday suck, and I know that. I know every night down here sucks except Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and maybe Sunday is decent with the late Monday leaving tourists, right? But on a good night, what can you pull in with that bucket of money that people keep giving you money with? Just do it. This is your chance. You're on CBS Sports Radio all over North America. It doesn't matter. How much money can you make?
$400.
On a good night?
On a good night.
That's great. I think that's great. Now, so you and your dad have always done this act together?
Yes.
And are you guys like best friends or something?
Oh, yeah.
Do you have like brothers and sisters?
I do. I have a brother and a sister, and my brother's into sports, so he's going to be very jealous that I'm here right now.
So your brother lives in Austin, Texas?
Yes.
Well, your brother is not as famous as you now. You are Raylene Heater. You are now rock star status on Pharrell on the Bench on CBS Sports Radio. Carver High, he was like, what do you mean you're putting on some drummer girl? We talk sports on this number. I'll tell you what. This girl is more entertaining than anyone I've talked to tonight. No offense to Aaron and John. They're incredible. They've been on my show a million times. This chick, am I lying? Tracy, come here. Am I lying that I have been talking about this girl all night before she even came up here?
You were really into it right away.
Well, because I think she's really special. I think she's got a really a gift, and I don't think anyone realizes how talented she is. How did you build your contraption out of, like, 20 cents worth of crap? I mean, you did it, the dad built it?
My father and a friend of his built the kit, and it may look like crap, but we have real Remo drum heads on those buckets that were not cheap.
Right, those are, like, those are real drum heads, like, skin covers. Like,
yes,
those
Remo.
But those are badass.
Oh, yeah, they're tuned and everything.
But you wrapped them around garbage buckets, and it looks like the thing's worth $5. But it's honestly, it sounds absolutely terrific. It sounds so deep, like it sounds like a bassy drum. It's like bassy to me. There's a lot of bass to your drums.
Yeah, there is.
Now, is your double bass, is that an actual double bass, or do you use another contraption?
No. it's the same bucket that is used that we snap all those Remo heads on, but it's actually like screwed onto a PVC pipe, and I use a real pedal, and I actually hit
a real pedal. So the piping is like, it's like sink piping, right? Like in a house.
PVC.
So you literally, how did you come up with that idea?
I didn't. My dad's the brains behind all this.
Because it sounds so clean with with the drumsticks. It actually sounds unique that it's kitchen piping. It sounds so cool on a drumstick that, I mean, because listen, I have to tell you, I've watched all these losers out here with their garbage can drumming. There's a guy out there right now, he sucks, he's so awful. I just want to shoot him. I want to shoot him with a gun because he's so bad.
Oh,
and then
man. She
is so kick-ass. Give it up for her again, how kick-ass she is. She kicks that guy's ass in his face.
Thank you.
All right, so that guy needs to retire and go shoot heroin. You need to keep playing the drums and get him out of here. We need to have talent only on Fremont Street. So let me ask you, you were down at the Four Queens last night jamming, and now tonight you're down here in front of the D. How do you pick your spots? Is it like a place where the money's better? There's like more action up there, down here? What is it?
Honestly, it's a lottery system. So you go online every day at 10 a.m. and you sign up of what times you want to perform the next day. Sometimes we don't get spots. They're 2 hours at a time. So tonight I was on this spot. I can be on the other opposite end.
So they tell you where you're going to be. You don't get to choose.
Pretty much, yes.
And then do you have to pay for a license to do it?
Nope.
They just give you
It's a registration ID that's assigned to each performer.
So you have an ID, and then they place you on the street.
Correct. And if we don't get a spot, sometimes we'll come down here and we'll wait behind other performers and hope the next person doesn't show up and kick you out with their registration ID.
Raylene Heaters here, the little drummer girl. This chick is the best drummer I've ever seen. Now, let me ask you, when you started drumming as a kid, because you're 19 now, you're a young lady, when you were a kid, when did you start doing this?
14 years old. I've only been playing 5 years.
5 years you picked it up. Jesus H. Christ. I mean, honest to God, you should see this girl play the drums. I mean, she's 100 miles an hour. Now, let me ask you. You never stop. I mean, you literally don't even stop. You have one sip of water, and then you, like, wipe off your face, and then you go again. Like, is your dad, what's the deal? Like, he won't even get you a hot dog at the Coney Island? I mean, Christ, this chick needs a break. She's out there. I saw you last night. How long did you play last night?
2 hours.
I watched you play for an hour. I stood there. Now, let me tell you something, just so you know. I wouldn't stand and watch one of these desperate acts out here for more than 5 minutes if you paid me 15 grand. I am not interested in this crap whatsoever. This is the first person that has ever been on my show ever on Fremont Street. You're the first one ever, and I've been doing this 35 years. You have talent.
Thank you. They suck.
You are awesome. They should be in jail. They're all a bunch of pedophiles and freaks and perverts, and you're a winner, and you should be doing big things with your life and career. Now, how come you're not in a band?
I'm waiting for them to find me. I have a website. We're promoting left and right.
What's your website?
All about the right.
What's your website?
www.drummerray.com.
Drummer Ray, like just R-A?
R-A-Y.
Oh, drummer. Why is the Y? So Raylene, how do you spell it? R-A-Y-L-A-L-E-N-E?
Yes.
DrummerRay.com.
I tried to make it as simple as I could for people to remember
so,
it.
So you're telling me, I got to know. So with all these bands that play out here, the Tony Marquez band, which I think they're really good. I think Spandex Nation has a great act. I've seen them so many times. I hear them in my sleep. Spandex Nation! I got that guy. He's so cheesy. I can't even look at him with that hairdo and those sunglasses and those tights on with his bulge in his pants. I can't even take it anymore. But you are worth watching. You are fascinating to watch because you're so Pharrellin. That's a word for a swear word I'm injecting there. You're so Pharrellin happy when you're doing it. Are you genuinely happy while you're playing?
I love what I do. There's literally nothing in the world I want to do more than play music.
So when I saw you jamming last night and you were smiling and soaking wet in 100-degree weather and dripping, were you actually... you were having fun. That wasn't BS.
I can't BS that. There's no way you can BS it. You can't BS a genuine like love for what you do.
So how can you play the drums that long and not stop at that speed? Because you're playing like Lars Ulrich speed, a Neil Peart speed. You're really going fast. You don't play like, you know, soft ass blues drums. You play serious high speed. Acoustic, you know, drumming. Is that a word? You went off for 2 hours straight. I've never seen anyone play that fast, that long, that hard, and not, like, get tired. Do you not get tired, or are you just in great shape?
Oh, I do get tired. I work out at the gym. My dad's taught me since I was 12, and I work out frequently.
I mean, you're ripped, but you're skinny as a rail. Like, you weigh about 90 pounds. Like, you're literally...
Not
how much
far
you
off.
100 pounds?
106.
Okay. This chick is a toothpick, but when her arms are going on that, and she got the whole deal going, tape on her arms, fingers, thumbs, she's all taped up like she's playing in the NFL.
Tendonitis.
So do you have tendonitis from playing?
Both arms.
Both arms in where? Your elbows?
No, it's in like...
In your wrists?
Tops of my hands.
So when you're done playing, you hurt?
A little bit. It goes away, though.
So when do you hurt? In the morning, after, or like all day?
Sometimes.
And then does it go away when you play?
Sometimes. It's very like... random.
So some nights when you're playing, you're in agony?
I wouldn't say agony. That's why I got this tape. That's why I didn't decide to look like a band-aid.
Kinetic tape is what it is, right?
Rock tape. Yeah, it's kinesiology tape.
Right. Do you like it? Does it work?
It definitely
Because I know I do that with basketball. They put it on my neck a lot, and wherever I get injured, they put that tape on you, your legs, wherever. But you have it wrapped all over. Show everybody your hands. She's got tape all over her arms. Is that because they both hurt when you're playing?
Correct. It's in both my hands. I almost got a cortisone shot at some point. Last year I was in a brace for months, and it was like the saddest time.
So what does does everyone think? Like, are you down here, you have to be getting popular with the other people down here that do this because you're so, what does that say? Your dad wants you to read that really badly.
Patrick Hughes, the president of Fremont Street, he's talked to me. Joe Pizzo's currently in contact with us. He's the entertainment manager.
Well, listen, I know Derek Stevens, who runs downtown Las Vegas. You understand? He runs the D, he runs the Golden Gate, he runs the new Circa. And I'm going to tell him that you need to be on that stage three right next to the D near the McDonald's. You need to be up on that stage because I see chicks up there blowing balloons. I saw some chick up there jumping through like hula hoops. I wanted to puke. It's so bad. But this chick has so much talent. She needs to be seen and heard by everyone. You can really flat out play the drums. Mafia, what do you think of Raylene Heater?
I think she was awesome, man. Like you said, we've been up and down this road every time we come here. Like, we're here for weeks, and we just walk up and down every night, see a lot of these clowns that are out here. Like, what are these people doing? But it's rare you see someone with actual talent performing, and I was incredibly impressed. I mean, you don't get this excited about anything. Your own children don't get you this excited.
Yeah, I don't. I don't like anything. I think everyone sucks. I mean, there is literally negative. There's negative 500% crap out there. You are the greatest act I've ever seen on Fremont Street, and all she's doing is playing. Like, her drum set's worth literally 50 cents. I mean, it is literally. It's like a. It's like kitchen piping with two cymbals and like a dog. Like there's like a, she got a boombox. It's like the most generic looking thing you've ever seen. Nice job by dad, though.
That boombox is a brand new QSC we just bought.
But listen, I'm not kidding. It looks like crap, but it sounds like Neil Peart. You have the greatest sound coming off of that thing, that contraption, whatever the hell that thing is. You sound fantastic. I think you are terrific. I love you. I think you're a lot of fun. You got a lot of energy. You got a great smile. Your act is so fun. You're sitting in that chair like literally bouncing. You're bouncing. You're having so much fun playing the drums. Anyone that has that much passion doing something, I believe in you, and I want nothing but the best for you in life. I hope that you make it big time.
Thank you so much.
And I'm going to tell Derek Stevens about you, and he's all that matters down here, in case you didn't know. You should ask your dad. You want to talk about somebody that's changed downtown Las Vegas, it's Derek Stevens. He needs to know that you're that good because your act is absolutely five-star, top-shelf badass. You're a badass. I love watching you play the drums. Hey, good luck with your life and with your career. You got a great talent God's blessed you with. Your dad's done a great job with you. I hope he's not going 60-40 on that money. I hope it's more 80-20 you. I hope he only gets 20% so he can put some gas in his car to bring it down here. Because you do all the work. He's standing there. He got the whole deal going to management. He's the guns. He's got the force. He's, you know, dangerous. Everyone's afraid of him. I'm like, I even said that. I go, I think that's her dad. It's like he's the strong arm over there. He's like watching the bucket full of money. This guy's in charge. He presses the music button, play on the machine. Meanwhile, you're dripping 100 miles an hour. You're soaking wet. You look like you're going to drop dead. But you are awesome. Hey, keep it up. Good luck.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for coming on the bench. Keep doing your thing. Don't ever listen to anybody. You're awesome.
Thank you so much. I'm not stopping anytime soon.
Your brother sucks. Austin sucks. Your sister kicks your ass right in your teeth. You have nothing. She's a badass. You're a loser. In fact, they told me, don't even come home for Thanksgiving. You're worthless. I'm just kidding, kid. What's his name?
Josh Hader.
We love you, Josh. Hey, thanks, Dad. Great job. I love you. Oh, come here 1 second. I gotta break, but just tell me. You got to be so proud of your daughter.
I'm very proud of her. She works hard. We did this together. She said she wanted to do it, so I got to answer something. She wanted me to come down with all those buckets, and I said, I'm not going to come down here so we look like losers. So we're going to build this kit, and that's what we did, my buddy.
I think that is the greatest sounding crappy kit I've ever seen in my life. It really sounds like, I mean, grade A kick-ass drum set. You've done a hell of a job with her. She's a great talent. Make sure you get her up on a big stage sometime soon.
I think you just got her on the main stage.
I hope so. Listen, Raylene, good luck. Thanks a lot, Dad. There you go. Something unique on the bench tonight. A Fremont Street Experience musician. Give it up for Raylene Heater, everybody. It's Pharrell on the Bench from the D in Las Vegas.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, back in Vegas at the D, it's Pharrell on the Bench on CBS Sports Radio. Andrew is in Virginia. You're on the bench.
Hey, Scotty. How's it going?
How you doing, Andrew?
Doing all right. I just wanted to see what you think about VC and Steve Adazio maybe finally doing something or, you know, getting fired possibly.
So wait a minute. So you're asking me if, you think, who's going to get fired, the Virginia coach?
No, BC's coach, Adazio.
Oh, yeah. All right. So BC's playing them. Aren't they playing them this week? Yeah. Oh, they're playing Va Tech. That game's in Chestnut Hill. I don't know. I actually kind of like them with the number. I think Virginia Tech can beat them in Chestnut Hill. But I kind of like Boston College to show up. It's their opener. I think they're going to be in the game. I think Virginia Tech's, you know, same thing as always, overrated. I mean, I don't know anyone that's scared of them. I mean, I've seen, you know, Notre Dame push them around, whoever. I think they're okay. I don't think they're bad. I think Boston College will be in that game. I don't know if they're going to fire their coach. Why would they fire the coach, what, the first week you want him fired? First week of the season?
Well, you know, after 4 or 5 years of mediocrity, you know, with, you know, completely shoddy quarterback play, you know, a defense that could compete with anybody, and then an offense that couldn't compete against the high school team.
Right.
You know.
Well, I think that at the end of the year, they'll, you know, if they lose again, if they have a bad season again, they'll get rid of him. That's the average 4 or 5 year deal, and then they're out. If he doesn't win, they'll get rid of him. So it's inevitable. If they lose again, he's done. That'll be that. Let's go to Brandon in Dallas on the ticket. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, thank you, guys. I'll keep it short and quick. Any correlation between Tony Romo and Andrew Luck? I know we're going through with new Andrew Luck situation going on, but we also talked about Tony Romo back in the day with some injuries, maybe taking a break and coming back.
Yeah, I don't remember Tony Romo, like, leaving the game and then coming back. Is that me, Mafia? Like,
well, I mean, he had the year that he's out that Dak Prescott, you know, took over. But, I mean, Tony Romo was older than Andrew Luck was. Romo
way
was
older.
I mean, the guy's 39 now. He's been out of the game, what, 2 years? So he was 35, 36, 37 when he started to get injured and contemplating retirement, not 29.
I thought, at the end of the day, Brandon, I thought Tony Romo had a long career, a good career with the Cowboys. Nothing fantastic. It wasn't like he was, you know, glowing or, you know, some superstar or, you know, some Pro Bowler. If you ask me, like, he may have made Pro Bowls, whatever, but all I know is he didn't get it done down there.
Right.
But I thought he had a good career. There's no one arguing that. I think he's actually had a better broadcasting career than he has as a football player, to be honest with you, because he started on CBS, and, I mean, he literally – everyone was glowing about this guy on the air. He did one season, and they said he was the best in the business and that he was predicting plays, and he could read the plays that were going to be called before they were being called. And, you know, everybody loves him so much, and it's just like he's the greatest thing ever. And now he's allegedly, like, at the end of this year going to be a free agent and might leave and go somewhere else. Who knows? But if I were, you know, this is me. If I'm him, and I'm not, but if I'm him, why would you walk away from working with Jim Nance on CBS unless they literally gave you NBC or Fox? They're not going to give him Joe Buck's job.
No. Not Aikman's job either.
And they're not giving him Aikman's. But I think, you know, he might. Who knows if he wants to be the man, like, calling the game? Who knows? If he wants to be an analyst, I think he should stay right where he is. What's better than that? Monday Night Football is an atrocity. I don't think he wants that. I would rather, if I'm him, this is just me, if I'm him and I'm going to the best game of the week every week in the NFL on CBS's dime, and I'm calling the biggest games of the year, and then every other year I'm doing a Super Bowl, who walks away from that? Like, honestly, like, who? Did you ever see Pat Summerall and John Madden walk away from it? They had to push him out the door. They were so old. I mean, let's face facts. If you have a good gig, a great gig, you don't walk away from it. I don't understand. Like, because I've heard he wants to leave, and he might leave, and he might, you know, do this or that. This guy's got the best job in football. He's on CBS calling games with Jim Nance. What job is better than that? I mean, Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth are doing NBC. Al Michaels has been phenomenal his career, but he's old now, and that's just all there is to it. And one of these days, he's going to walk away. I don't see Tony Romo calling games on NBC. That's No. Just that's my guess. What he is he's a great analyst that everyone thinks he's so wonderful. So once you get the reputation that you're great and everyone thinks you're wonderful, they usually keep you on the air until you're dead.
Right. They're making millions and millions of dollars just call those games, and he's never going to be a play-by-play guy. He's definitely an analyst for the rest of his career. That's what he is.
Do you think, Carver High, do you think he's going to stay or go?
He's not going anywhere.
They're going to break the bank for him.
He's not going anywhere. He's not leaving CBS. They'll give him his money. He's not going anywhere.
But you've heard these stories. There's been a lot of speculation that he's going to leave after this season. I don't think he will. I think it's too good of a gig. Unless he wants to do something else in life, which he could very well do.
Absolutely no chance.
The comparison to him, Luck, too, not only the age, but, I mean, with all due respect to Tony Romo, he had a good career. He was a solid starting quarterback. He wasn't Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck is one of the top five quarterbacks in the league since he entered the league. Tony Romo was never in that kind of conversation.
So do you believe, Carver High, that Clowney will end up in Miami for Tunsil? Because I don't know. Would you rather have Clowney or would you rather keep Tunsil? Because he's a beast on the line.
They're going to end up with Clowney. If they got the left tackle to give, they're going to end up with him.
So you think they'll give up Tunsil?
Yes, I do.
Wow. So, the thing that makes me think that they're going to do the deal is that he was there. He was there, and he met with them, and they're trying to persuade him. So there was like a recruiting trip.
I don't understand how he's allowed to do.
I don't either.
He's still under contract. Not under contract, but he's still property of the Texans.
Isn't that tampering?
No, because he's not under contract. He's not under contract until he signs. As long as they give him permission to go seek it out.
So what he was explaining to me was that he was franchised, right?
Right, but until you actually sign that franchise tender, you're not under
contract. Right, so that's what his status is.
Right. So as long as they say, hey, go ahead and try to work out a deal, that's what he did.
So the NFL Network reported it first, and then that he's there and he talked to him and this and that. We'll see if something happens. I mean, the days are numbered, right? Aren't we literally... We're football starting next week.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
We're back at the D in Vegas. I had a lot of action going tonight, Carver High, on the Yankees and the Dodgers. And I think the Yankees are up 6-0 and the Dodgers are up 8-0. So it's cash time tonight for Pharrell with my late night baseball bets. Not bad,
sweet,
right?
Sweet.
The Yankees are killing it tonight in Seattle. Judge hit a bomb. What was that, a two-run homer? And then was Gardy's a three-run shot?
Yes.
There you go. And then the Dodgers are winning easily in San Diego over Walker Buehler is dealing tonight at Petco. So I'm going to be able to cash that ticket. But I am watching this late-night match at the U.S. Open with Kyrgios taking on this guy Johnson from America. He actually looks like he was in Boogie Nights, the guy from America. He's got like a porn mustache. The guy you saw him. Have you seen this guy? He's getting his ass beat, too. He's 6'3", 7'5", or 7'6". It was 7'5 in a second? And then 7'6". They're in 7'6". Now they're in the third, and he's just cleaning up. But... it's weird. We've talked about this guy before on the air that, I mean, he is the biggest jerk. I mean, he is the worst on the entire tour. There is no one that even comes close to Kyrgios with his behavior. He's appalling. He is an absolute idiot on the tennis court. He throws temper tantrums like John McEnroe times 10. And he literally... I'll never forget the night we were talking on the air and the guy threw the water bottle at the ref. He literally took a water bottle and threw it at the chair umpire like 50 miles an hour, literally smashing into his chair. And then the guy's like, he gave him he gave him a penalty for it. And he said it slipped out of his hand. Meanwhile, you literally saw him throwing the bottle at him. He just took it and threw it at him 100 miles an hour. And then he said, it slipped out of my hand. He's so funny. And he's such a piece of shack on tour. Like, this guy, everyone hates him. He's an absolute atrocity. The guy's behavior is appalling on the court. He does everything, smashes rackets. Do you remember that one, Carver, when he smashed the two rackets and then came back out?
That was the best at Cincinnati a couple weeks ago.
Right. So the thing about him is that he's up 2-0 in the third. He's, it's amazing because he really... I don't know. He kind of sucks. He's not, you know what I mean? He's not that great. But he's got all the talent in the world, and he's a big guy. He's tall, and he's got, you know, powerful shots, serve and volley, and his ground strokes are very physical. But he's never amounted to a hill of beans on tour because I think his temper has ruined him, right? He's always screaming and yelling and throwing and smashing rackets.
Yeah, he's a moron.
He's arguing with the umps, and he just an absolute disaster on the court.
He's got enough talent to be one of the 10 to 15 best players in men's tennis. Like, he's the 28th seed or something here.
He's got
enough talent to be in the 10 to 15 range right now, but because he's such an ass all the time, this is what happens to him. He takes himself out of these matches. He just, the focus gets lost so quickly with him when he gets a bad call, and then it's over.
Is there any part of it, though, at all, that you find entertaining? Like, because I kind of enjoy watching him have these meltdowns. I think it's kind of fun.
It's hilarious.
Watch him.
We actually watch tennis when it happens.
Right, like, we actually enjoy watching a guy lose it, right? He just absolutely goes Calypso Bay. He just snaps, and he freaks out. And he's winning tonight straight sets, and he's still screaming. He's still, like, yelling and acting like an idiot, and it's unbelievable. It's like, it's not even like, you know, you watch Rafa, you watch Roger, you watch Joker, they never lose. We get it. But you watch this guy, and he's such a meltdown head case that I think his matches are more entertaining to watch than all three of those guys. Is that safe to say?
Oh, I only left it on tonight because he was on.
He left it on because anything's possible, right? Like,
right,
he left it on
because he could go up in the chair and whack the guy in the head. Like, that's the only reason why I left it on tonight.
Or he could take, you know, because he yells at fans, too. Have you ever seen him take on fans? He gets, like, he'll start shouting matches with fans because they yell at him and yell obscenities at him.
Well, that's the thing, because when you start doing the stuff that he does, he becomes a target for all the fans.
Right, but I think that one of these days he might actually hurt someone. He might, like, take a racket and take a ball and 100 miles an hour, smash a ball in somebody's face.
Well, there you go. Tennis has found a way to make more people watch. Just put this guy on at center court at 11:30 at night, and we're going to tune in to see if he whacks somebody over the head with a racket or a ball or a water bottle. So
that's
exactly good for the game, I guess. Ratings are up because of this guy.
Well, it is exactly the point I'm trying to make, is that this guy is on center court tonight in prime time at whatever it is. What is it, 1 in the morning in New York? And he's on television tonight for one reason and one reason only, because he's an absolute, he's abysmal. He's heinous. He's so awful behaving. His behavior is so bad. Do you think, like, I don't even know how many times they've kicked him off, suspended him. He's had all kinds of problems with the tour.
Right, he's got to find, over 100 grand for that last tournament?
Right, he's always in trouble. And look at him right now, he's doing it. He's talking Shaq, and he's like, he gets all crazy.
He's up 2-0 right now, and he's up 3-0 in the third set, and he's still getting rattled right now. It's amazing.
he gets so mad.
Is he playing Aaron Rodgers?
No, he's playing, I told you, the guy from Boogie Nights, Dirk Diggler.
Listen, forgetting like what this guy might do in his career, like what might happen while he's on the court, I guarantee you, when this guy's like retired and done and just living normal life, or you know, some tennis pro in Australia at some club,
right,
you're going to be reading stories about this guy doing stuff like ending up in jail or being arrested for something.
Or for assault.
Right. He's going to be one of those guys that you're going to hear more about him after his career is done than while his career is going on.
Do you believe that, Carver High?
I mean, I guess it's possible if people actually care enough about him to send the stories over here. Yeah, I guess.
Maybe one day he'll be on a yacht and he'll hold a bunch of people hostage or something.
I think he's got to actually do something before he's done playing for anybody to ever care about him again.
Look, he's going at it with fans right now. Look, he's going at it with fans. He's having a meltdown right now. He's absolutely having a meltdown right now. And you know why he's mad? Because people yell things at him. So he gets so mad when anyone says anything to him, he's ready to fight anyone. He'll fight anyone.
I mean, is he
talking to
the ref or is he talking to the fans?
I think he's talking to fans.
Because they're reviewing something right now, so I don't know if he was on the umpire again.
Look, he's going at it right now. He's going at it with a fan. Because there's no way the guy he's talking to right now is the guy that made that call. The call was on the other side of the court. Oh, he's talking to one of his buddies or one of his coaches. That's who it is, because that's his box. That's his team box. That's who he's talking to. He's arguing with his coach or someone. His coach looks like he just got out of a frat house with his sweatshirt on.
What is going on here?
This guy sells weed. He sells weed for a living at the college.
Who was that guy? Did you see this guy?
I didn't even know they're allowed to talk to them in the middle of the match. They call a timeout or something.
Where did he find this guy?
He found him down at the Kai Omega house.
And he just keeps giving him the business, too. He just keeps yelling at him.
He's screaming at him, and he's telling him, you're buying dinner, too, you wuss bag. You know, how about the before? Did you hear? Like, so when the match was on before, it was Rafa's coach's birthday, right? And it was like 10:30 or whatever, 10 o'clock when it ended. And he's like, you know, they're going to go out to dinner in the city, and, you know, it's his birthday, so he's going to pick any restaurant he wants. You know, all these guys eat late-night dinners. And I was like, what is he talking about? Is he really talking about where they go to eat? Where they go to dinner? What's next? He's going to tell me what kind of soap they use in the shower? Honestly, I was Fowler and McEnroe. Listen to them call a match. It really is entertaining because they start talking about everything. Food, restaurants, women, sex, drugs. I mean, it's all happening when McEnroe's on there. He's way better than his brother, too. No offense. I think Patrick's he's like a congressman compared to his brother. His brother's like a guy that was in a bad garage band with a drug problem. Wait a minute, he is. He doesn't have a drug problem, though. I hope he has a drug problem. It's Ferrell on the Bench from Vegas at the D.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.